Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We are on episode number...
I was about to say 13, and I was like, wait, come again. 113.
113.
I thought it was like 1B. I was like, we're on episode 1B, but it's 113.
For those listening and don't know what we're saying, the producer always holds a cute little artistic sign for us, and I just had a hard time visually seeing the numbers.
113.
113.
And this is an exciting day because we have fresh chapter energy.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
We are officially starting chapter 14, the three modes of material nature.
Oh, what's a material nature?
Dun, dun, dun.
We're going to find out.
I'm so excited.
I'm actually excited too because we always sort of talk about it, but we're going to dive deeper into it.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the goodness, passion, ignorance, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool.
You were asking for real seeds.
Just want to make sure. I never know what's going on.
No, totally. Sometimes some of these things, like we've talked about them all the time. We hear them all the time. And then all of a sudden we're like, I have no idea what that means. Even though we've seen it a million times. And then we're like, oh, wait, actually, I did know. But I just confused myself for a second.
Yeah, this was actually something I studied in the master's program for teaching that I forget the word for it. But the second, like you might have a solid foundation of the principal things you've taught. And the second you introduce a new concept, it almost makes them reevaluate everything else they just learned through the lens of the new concept. Mm. You know,
it's called I think in psychology, it's called a BGBF.
Are you serious?
It's a Bhagavad Gita brain fart.
I love it.
Happens all the time.
I love it.
That's cute. That's cute.
Well, say that again.
Bhagavad Gita brain fart.
BCBG. No.
BF. BCBF.
Sorry.
BBF.
Oh, BG.
Wait, what?
BGBF.
It's happening right now.
Yeah, we're having it right now. Right, we're collectively doing a BF right now.
Oh my gosh. As far as the summary, you know, I keep thinking that we really crushed the final summary of chapter 13
so just
in the
go check
last
it out.
Episode. So go check it out. This might just be a prompt to like, go check out the ending. Well, ideally you've been hearing all of the episodes till now, but if you need a refresher, go check out the ending of our last episode.
Yeah, it was like maybe the last 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was a full summary of the whole chapter, which was really well written by Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, as you're following along, we only have 4 chapters left. And
so exciting.
Like if you have any recommendations on the next book that you want us to cover, we are all open, all ears. Send us a DM on Instagram.
Can I say something about that and just ask them to give us their feedback on it?
Oh, yes. Good.
Okay.
So you had a great idea.
Well, I mean, you know, we were always talking about what should be next and we have had a lot of thoughts. So this is just one of many thoughts, not necessarily the one we're going to choose, but I don't know if everyone's aware, but there's this book called Book Bhagavat and it's the Srimad Bhagavatam summarized and it's summarized by Keshava Swami. So we were thinking, oh, what a wonderful way to, you know, do the Srimad Bhagavatam, but kind of in a more condensed way, in a way that's already been somewhat digested for us. So is that something you guys would be interested in? Just, you know, let us know.
And it is a summary of Srila Prabhupada's books. It's not like something completely different.
Yeah.
It's the Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam summarized all the cantos into this one book. So if you're trying to tackle the Bhagavatam, but just don't have time and it's overwhelming and it will take your entire life, this would be a pretty good summary.
Mm. Yeah. So we would love to know your opinion on Instagram. DM us at Modern Yogi Podcast and let us know if this is something you'd be interested in.
Yeah.
If you are busy for the next 70 years and can't invest in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam and you just want a summarized version, let us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have other ideas, also let us know. We're always curious. We're trying to figure out kind of what else to go for. We've talked about doing other Srila Prabhupada books, like the smaller ones. We've talked about doing like the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. Some of these other books that are also part of the Bhakti Shastri library of Prabhupada books. We're open to all kinds of suggestions as we're getting closer to the end, only 4 chapters left.
Gosh.
We would love to hear your ideas and so we can think about it and kind of figure out what the next steps are.
And we were actually thinking like when we're done the Gita to go back and almost do a whole little summary. We're going to delve into that, but it would only be a handful of episodes. It wouldn't be so long, but it would be almost like breaking down into the chapters and the themes that we've covered thus far in a big brushstrokes type of way.
So, totally.
All right. Invocation, please, lady.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Wow, you guys close your eyes when you do that. This is the first time in 100 episodes that I opened my eyes to actually see what was going on.
Oh, wow.
And you guys close your eyes during that.
Not always. Sometimes we look at each other. But
we always end with looking at each other. Yeah. But throughout, at one point halfway, we'll close our eyes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it's so crazy what happens when you open your eyes and you're like, you know what's going on. Wow. Wow. That was philosophical if you think about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to open your eyes, see what's going around.
Look at you. That was beautiful.
she's blowing her own mind.
I have unfiltered thoughts. Unfiltered.
She's like, sometimes you open your eyes and see the light. Wow, I'm so deep.
That's so funny. All right.
Perfect.
Shall we do text one?
You know, you didn't read the translation, girlfriend.
Oh my God.
She didn't?
I don't think.
No, she totally did.
Okay, I need to open my ears.
Wait, hold on.
I have no idea.
Wait, I don't remember if I did. Translation. I was born in darkness.
Wait. Do it nicely. Okay, it's okay. We'll just
wait
a second.
Did I or did not? Are we?
I'm pretty sure you did.
Losing our mind.
We are having a what's it called? BC.
Oh, BGBF. Bhagavad Gita. Brain fart.
She prefaced this episode by saying that, and now we can't even remember
what happened.
Krishna is
ago.
The ability in man to, and the remembrance and forgetfulness.
Krishna is the brain fart in man.
Oh, okay. We took it there.
Sorry, Krishna. She said that, not me.
I think we can just do it one more time. Yeah, maybe Krishna just wanted us to do it a second
time.
There
we go.
Or a first time.
We're losing our marbles.
I don't think that's ever happened to us before.
Translation. No. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Just like Shama opened her eyes throughout our verse to see what was happening.
Haribo.
Haribo,
BGBF.
Okay.
Jai.
Chapter 14, right. The Three Modes of Material Nature, Text 1, Priyadarshini.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, again, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection.
One more time.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, again, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection.
Okay. So Krishna's going to give us wisdom, and people in the past, really elevated souls in the past, have listened to this knowledge and have attained supreme perfection, i.e., liberation.
Uh-huh.
Nice. All right.
So we're going to just break down the purport. Priya, do you want to kickstart us?
We're going to read the whole purport?
I don't... Most of
it. Family.
Where do you want to start?
Yo, I'm down.
We're laughing because it's like almost like a dream. Normally, Shama does not want to read the whole thing, but Shama, we need to take advantage of this mood she's in. So okay, Priya, start fine. Us off.
Maybe I like Krishna learning.
I'm going to just trust the process.
I love learning.
What is happening?
Hey, girl, you okay?
Okay.
Yes, I love
some water.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
She's great. She loves learning and wants to do the whole purport. Priya, start us off.
I will start learning.
All right, purport. You guys need a second.
No, ready.
You guys are both crying. Are you okay?
No, I said learning, not learning.
That's pretty funny. Okay. All right. Krishna's ready whenever you are.
Oh, wow. You made it serious. Okay.
Okay. All right. Priya,
I'm sitting up in
off.
My chair now.
Start us off, Priya.
All right.
All right. From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead.
Now, the Lord himself is further enlightening Arjuna.
In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge...
Where are you going, bro? You totally skipped a whole sentence.
You said you wanted to read the whole thing. How are we supposed to
grow? How do we know what you're going to skip?
That was the sentence we said we were going to skip. We decided this beforehand, you fools.
Oh, right. We're like, bro, can you read? Bro.
I think we should
just
stop this whole
episode. No. We gotta go.
This is great.
All right, continue, Carla.
Okay, wait. Well, now we have to explain.
Oh my God.
Okay, guys. So if anyone's listening, there is one sentence in the purport that we were like, we don't get this. This doesn't make any sense. Let's just skip it. And then
we don't always do that. But sometimes when we don't have a full understanding. We don't want to misrepresent anything.
Correct. Yes.
So because we're not the most learned, the spiritual masters of the world, we just go, okay, you know, we don't have to read everything because we're just summarizing.
So I skipped in. I thought they will be so proud that I remembered this. And then I look up and they said, you don't know how to read, you fool.
I was like, bro, learn to read. Oh.
No. So basically this sentence makes sense except for one word. It was just that.
Read the sentence. Yeah. Yeah.
The sentence says, if one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. The one word that doesn't make sense to us is speculation, because up until this point, Prabhupada has always referred to, we should steer clear of mental speculation. So mm-hmm. maybe philosophical speculation is like, okay, this chapter.
Well, we shouldn't speculate.
Like, we shouldn't speculate. So we don't know.
We just don't know what that means.
We shouldn't speculate what speculation means.
So we don't know what it means by philosophical speculation. So we decided to continue.
Yeah. To skip it. Because we thought, okay, maybe just that, my thought was maybe just that the more we grapple with trying to understand this chapter, it will lead us to understanding devotional service. Because yeah. in the past, Krishna has said, at least start by thinking. And if an intelligent man thinks, that's the beginning of it, right? So maybe through grappling with trying to understand this chapter, philosophically mulling, I am speculating right now. Yes.
No, but that's okay. That's okay.
But I also want to speculate. Okay.
Oh my speculate God. Too. Go.
But maybe the contents of this chapter are a little bit different. And that's why Prabhupada's saying that philosophical speculation is okay here, because you might end up with devotional service.
I just feel like this whole chapter, I don't know what's happening. We just started.
Chapter 14 is going to be a doozy, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be Krishna. A doozy.
Krishna loves this chaotic mess. And I'm crying now.
Okay, go ahead.
I feel like Krishna was,
continue.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I feel like Krishna's like, oh, you're not going to say that sentence? Watch.
I know.
Because like, just watch.
Because Krishna is remembrance and forgetfulness.
Like, that's the theme. Krishna is remembrance and forgetfulness. Yeah. And he's like, just watch. And then I did my job. And then it exploded from there. This is so funny. And this is going to be my favorite beginning of a chapter ever.
I actually really enjoyed this too.
Me too.
I know Priya hates it, but I really enjoy it.
I love it. I think this is one of the best intros. So I'll continue.
It just overwhelms my senses. But let's continue.
In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement.
Humbly developing knowledge.
I love that, right?
Very nice. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world.
Right. Okay. Now, in this chapter, the Supreme Personality explains that those modes of nature are what those modes of nature are, how they act, and how they bind, and how they give liberation.
Right, so that's a laundry list of what's to come.
Yep.
The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. Wow.
He always says that, right?
It's getting better and better.
It makes sense. He's like, you know, like when you're teaching something, you're going to start very simple, and then you're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and more interesting and more, what's the word he used here?
Superior. Wait, that is actually a great teaching tactic, right? Because if someone is teaching you, hey, like, this is really important, and then the next chapter they go like, oh my God, this is way more important than the last chapter, and then you like have to pay attention. Oh my God, this is gonna be the best chapter ever, right? And it keeps you on the edge
of your
seat.
He's the best marketer.
Prabhupada's a great marketer.
Yeah. Okay, Priya.
Okay. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attained perfection and transferred to the spiritual world.
Wow.
This is the second time I've seen the word transferred, or like the sentence transferred to the spiritual world.
Instead of like attain it.
Yeah. Or like liberation instead of that kind of wording. This is really interesting.
Like Krishna almost hand plucks them and just like, boop, here's where
Let's
you belong.
Go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way.
So this knowledge is far, far superior to any other process of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attain perfection.
Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection.
We're doing a great job of understanding the 14th chapter so far.
I am still so tickled by how we started, and it's one of my all-time favorites. I just can't believe it.
So very nice. I think if you've paid attention to none of this episode so far, if we can really nail chapter 14, then we can attain perfect knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay.
And we need to use that hammer of paying attention. And
Let's put our thinking caps on, ladies.
Really. And how did they say humbly applying this knowledge or humbly...
Developing knowledge.
Developing knowledge.
Love it.
Okay. Shama Sangeeta text two.
All right. Krishna says, by becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Mm. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution.
Wow. I like how they word. They're neither born nor disturbed. Like, dissolution. The world is going up in flames and you won't be disturbed.
Can we break that text down by like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Part by part.
By becoming fixed in this knowledge.
The knowledge of we're not this body, we are the soul, there's a super soul, there's a super soul in everyone, it's equal in everyone. Everything we've read so far. Yes?
Really good, yes.
Okay.
One can attain to the transcendental nature like my own.
So basically Prabhupada says one acquires qualitative equality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming free from the repetition of birth and death. And qualitative is important because we are qualitatively then the same. We're tapping into the eternal realm of Sat Chit Ananda.
Yeah, we have all the same sort of qualities. We come from Krishna, so everything we have, it's because it comes from him. But quantitatively,
we are not as big as Krishna.
Thank you for finishing that.
I got you.
Shamali's dying.
Because you started, it was so cute almost, but
quantitatively is a hard word.
You just stopped the word.
Just like trajectory. It's a hard word.
It was really cute. It was really cute.
Thank you.
Very cute.
Okay, thus established, one is not born at the time of creation.
So once we understand this, we understand that we are not born at the time of creation, meaning when the material existence was created, the galaxies, the universe, the planets, everything. Yes?
Yeah. And it's a really heartwarming thought because basically Prabhupada says liberated souls who have reached the transcendental planets of the spiritual sky always look to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord being engaged in his transcendental loving service. So even after liberation, the devotee doesn't lose our individual identity.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but basically we never come back down. Once we go there, we're situated there.
Once we go to Krishna, we don't fall back down. And that is actually a very comforting thought, right?
Yeah.
It's a confusing thought for me.
Why? Ooh, tell me more.
Because if we never come back down, how did we get here to begin with?
Oh, that's
scandal.
How
do we get here? I mean, didn't we, isn't that the whole story that we wanted to enjoy?
But why would we want to if we were with him? I shouldn't ask these
chicken
questions.
And egg.
But you know, I think we could dedicate, it doesn't have to be now, but there, like if we do a little more background in the different trains of thought, because this is a whole philosophical debate that's been going on. And I feel like we could come a little prepared with like, okay, totally, these are the different sides presented. And I think we should bring it up. It's super interesting.
Yeah. I think we'll have a whole episode on something like
this. Let's do an episode on this. Let's book note this. And this is
very interesting.
Yeah. Because there are people that say, well, we were never in the spiritual world if we came down. And there are people that say,
that makes sense.
We came down from the spiritual world. But then Prabhupada says, why are we going to analyze where the fire came from? If the house is on fire, we need to get out. We just need to go back home.
Yeah. Good point. But if you're overly analytical, you might want to.
We still will analyze a little bit.
We would want to know to some capacity. But this is really, thank you. That was really nice anyways. And then we'll get more deeply into it.
And nice thought.
Yeah.
All right. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution.
Oh, so meaning you're not affected by death when you die. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like that's very conclusive. Like it's like very encompassing of everything we've discussed so far.
Good word.
There's two interesting points in the purport Prabhupada brings up that are just little side points. One is knowledge which is not contaminated by the three modes of nature is called transcendental knowledge. So I just thought, that's true. Like material.
Wait. You said that too fast for my brain.
I'm sorry. I'll read slow.
Thank you.
I tend to talk fast. Knowledge which is not contaminated by the three modes of nature is called transcendental knowledge.
Oh, yes, of course.
And that's so interesting because I thought, right, I guess you don't think about it that most mundane knowledge is tainted by one or all of the three modes of nature.
Totally.
Like if you read a book on rainbows.
Okay.
Still mode of goodness.
Right? What is your life comprised of? Belly rubs, celery juice, and rainbows.
No, right? And you read a book on
cinnamon rolls. And
we can put all the examples that your brains together. I love them. I mean, this podcast wouldn't be it without your examples.
Thank you.
They really wouldn't.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go into the library and read a book on rainbows, and that is the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
Right? You can go into the library and read a book on stocks.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's the mode of passion, right? Because exactly. It gets you in this mode of like, oh, if I buy this, if I buy this.
And what is ignorance?
And if you go into the library and you read a book on meth or crack cocaine. You
why?
Know,
wouldn't that be passion? I'm just making your life hard. It's okay.
Depends on what scenario you're going to say.
Crack cocaine.
Then we're gonna go like hibernation or...
Oh, yeah. If you read a book about bears hibernating, mode of ignorance.
Maybe.
After doing crack cocaine, then you hibernate, that's ignorance.
A bear doing crack cocaine and then hibernating.
Oh, Krishna Chaitanya, this is a family show.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's the bear's karma. It's not our karma.
All right. And then last point that's interesting, and this leads to a whole philosophical point, because Prabhupada says, just as there's material variegatedness in this world, so in this world we see so much variety, in the spiritual world there's also variegatedness, but those in ignorance think that the spiritual existence is opposed to material variety. So meaning, a lot of people think we only have this whole variety and personalities and all of that depth of experience, the human experience here in the mundane material realm. But when we get to the spiritual sky, it's this white light energy we're all floating around. But the almost scientifically, if you conceptualize it, the byproduct cannot contain more than the source. And we are the byproduct from the source. So how could we contain more variety than our source? That just does not logically make sense. Does it make sense, Shama, what I'm saying?
How can we, if we're coming from something,
yes.
How can we be bigger than it?
Exactly. Nice. So how can we contain more variegatedness than our source? Doesn't make sense. So if it exists in this realm, it came from somewhere and our source contains that.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. What are you cracking up about, Priya?
Priya is like, I want to challenge that.
No.
She was somewhere else.
I ChatGPT books on goodness, passion, ignorance.
Yo, do it. Was I right?
Wait.
Okay.
So here are some examples. It said, mode of goodness, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the
rainbows. You know,
autobiography of a yogi, like these kinds of things.
Sure.
Okay. Mode of passion, how to win friends and influence people.
Ooh, Dale Carnegie.
Think and grow rich. The seven habits of highly effective people.
Whoa.
It's like naming books. And then mode of ignorance, certain horror and thriller novels.
Ooh, good
dark
point.
Fantasy with violent themes. Books on revenge and manipulation.
Okay.
Books promoting addictions or escapism.
Okay.
Like the bear doing crack.
Okay.
But like interesting, right?
Yeah, interesting. Same, yeah.
Same.
Exactly the same.
Okay, text three. Me.
Oh, my favorite verse. Go ahead, Shamali.
Is this your favorite verse? My favorite verse thus far, she says.
She has so many of these.
I know, I love it. Just like Prabhupada says, so this is the most important knowledge thus far.
So good.
Okay. Krishna's talking.
Wait,
right?
We finished text two.
Unless you have something else to add.
No, it's fine.
Okay, text three. Let's go, shall we?
The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate. Sorry, now I see why it's your favorite. I need to say that. I thought such a sweet thought until I got to that word. Okay. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharat.
Love it. Krishna said impregnate. That's hilarious.
Family show.
Oh my God. Krishna said impregnate. Okay. I didn't say, I'm just repeating impregnate. That's all.
You're choosing one word out of that whole thing.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyways. I didn't understand the rest
of
it.
Okay. Let's break it down because I think it's slightly confusing. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. One sentence at a time or whatever. One little chunk at a time. Shamali?
Oh, yes.
Or unless you want Shamali to read it, it's fine.
I can read it too. I would love to read it.
Go for it.
The total material substance called...
Okay, what does that mean?
Oof. Don't ask me. Shamali, what does that mean?
This means that this is an explanation of the world and everything that takes place is due to the combination of the body and the spirit soul. The total material substance.
Got it. Okay.
But wait. So when it says the total material substance, it means everything that takes place in the world. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And that is called Brahman.
Interesting.
Right?
Well, I have a couple of definitions for Brahman. So let's see which one fits.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Number one, the individual soul. Does that fit? the total material substance called the individual soul. No, right? Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Okay. Number two, the impersonal, all-pervading aspect of the supreme.
Shama?
No.
Nope.
Okay, the next one. Definition number three, the supreme personality of Godhead. Actually, the answer is no for this one too.
Okay.
No. Okay.
Yep,
now
no.
the fourth definition is the Mahatattva, or the total material substance.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's the one. I put all my money on that one. Yep. Okay, so the total material substance.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the word right before in the text.
It's called Brahman.
The answer's in the text.
So the total material substance is the source of birth.
Yeah, that's literally the verse. Yeah. Okay.
So total material substance is it everything that we discussed in this material world, the 24 elements that comprise the body?
I guess so, but it's the source of birth.
So what the source of everything.
Okay, let's keep going. Let's see. So everything is the source of birth. Sure.
The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, mm-hmm. and it is that Brahman that I impregnate. So if Brahman is the source of everything, Krishna impregnates the source. So Krishna, ergo, is the actual source.
Okay. That makes sense.
Prabhupada says the material nature is not the cause of birth of the living entities. The seed is given by the supreme personality of Godhead, and they only seem to come out as products of material nature.
I understand too. So basically it's saying that we are that matter that has no consciousness, and Krishna is the consciousness that actually gives us life. Right. Through the soul. He gives us consciousness through giving us a soul.
Yeah.
Right. Totally.
So Krishna is that absolute source, and that is making possible the births of all living beings.
Mm, yeah.
Right. So like Priya read about the Mahatattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation, and that total substance of the material cause. Okay.
So the Mahatattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation, and that total substance of the material cause, in which there are three modes of nature, is sometimes called Brahman. So let's break it down. What?
It's just saying that Brahman is another word for material, material existence.
Yeah.
Material everything.
So basically, right. It's all the material realm, and then Krishna, in the form of the Brahman, adds...
The souls.
Yeah. It literally says the supreme person, Krishna, impregnates that Brahman with the seeds of living entities.
Yeah, it says the 24 elements, beginning from earth, water, fire, air, and all material energy, and they constitute what is called Mahad Brahma, or the great Brahman. So it's saying that this is what already existed. Let's say that there was already... But also, it's also created by Krishna. But let's say that the material universe was a combination of earth, water, fire, air, and all material energies, right?
So
that was already kind of like
there,
right? And then Krishna's like, give living entities. Ba-da-boom.
Right. He adds the superior nature, which is the living entity.
Yes.
There's this example where he says the scorpion lays its eggs in piles of rice. Oh. And sometimes it is said that the scorpion is born out of rice.
Mm-hmm.
But the rice is not the cause of the scorpion.
Totally, yeah.
Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities.
Right.
The seed is given by Krishna, and they only seem to come out as products of material nature.
That makes sense.
Right, totally, right. So, into material nature, the superior nature is mixed by the will of the supreme personality of Godhead, and thereafter all living entities are born of this material nature. So right, you have material nature and the superior nature.
But it's also like a great explanation, like the material nature is that rice. That
right.
was just there.
Totally.
Right? Yep. And then Krishna comes and brings us into that material nature. We kind
With
of-
The eggs.
We come out of it and we're like, oh, now we exist, but we're not actually part of this.
Right. So are we part of, pop quiz, Krishna's superior or material nature?
Superior.
Right.
Okay.
Very good.
Yes.
TLDR, Krishna is the source of everything.
Yes.
What again is TLDR?
Too long, didn't read. Wait, is that true, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Krishna creates everything.
You know, the first time I heard that was when I sent you a paragraph about my new blossoming love and you said TLDR.
and you put it into ChatGPT for a summary.
So funny, because Shyamalee is very articulate. And if you don't know Shyamalee, she's a fantastic writer. She has 75,000 emotions a day. And so, like, literally, she was telling me about something that's beautiful that's happening in her life. And she sent me this long text message. I did not bother to read it. I put it into ChatGPT and said, summarize, please. TLDR. And then I replied. I was like, I'm so happy for you. This is great. I just responded, K.
But then she was a sweetheart and went back and read it.
I did read it I had more time.
Yeah. It was fun.
It's a good technique to be able to respond on time.
It is, right?
It's nice.
Well, thank you.
Because I think people like Priya and I get overwhelmed that I have to send a long response and then I'll put it off to later, and then later does not
happen. Never happens.
And then you live with regret.
I know. And as I'm going to sleep in the late hours of the night, I'm thinking, it's true. All the things I didn't do, they weigh on me. And then I start going to bed and thinking of the people I've ignored. And I'm like,
people that must feel some sort of way, because I've literally just been so overwhelmed with my own existence that I have not responded to a text from 3 months ago. And I feel so bad.
I know.
So we all have to do TLDR, whatever Shama said.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm getting married. TLDR. Alrighty. Text 4, Priya Darshini.
I just want to say one more time. One more thing. So basically, I really felt this realization of the rice and the eggs, in the sense that we're not part of this. Like, even thinking conceptually about the material
world, nature, creation.
The materials that rice are made of compared to I know, that's why
never
I
mind.
Like the you know what rice is made of versus what an egg is made of, right? Like, we're not the same. We're not compatible. Like, we're just in here. We're in this material world, but we're not belonging. We're not created by it. We're not meant to really be in it, if that makes sense.
I love that.
Just happen to be here.
We're not of this world.
Not just
truly.
Happen, dude. We've made ourselves be here.
Because we wanted the
that was so depressing.
Belly rubs. That was so depressing.
No, when she said just happen. We did this to ourselves. And now we have to live with it for life.
Happy chapter 14.
Chaotic
this
chapter
14 has been the 72,000 emotions so far.
This episode has, for sure. Yeah. Okay, nice. Text 4.
Yes, Priyadarshini.
Someone.
Priyadarshini.
Okay. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature. And that I am the seed-giving father. Well, that's nice. We discovered that last confusion that we read.
Yes,
that
we did.
But Krishna's like, let me make it clear for you.
Can you read it again?
Yes. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature. And that I am the seed-giving father.
Mm. I think Prabhupada must have known it was not so clear before, because he said, in this verse, it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original father of all living entities, and that the living entities are combinations of, we've established, the material nature and the spiritual nature. So the spiritual nature that comes from Krishna.
Yeah, so everything that's born in this world, when the soul comes into that being, that's actually Krishna also coming into that being?
As Paramatma, yes.
As Paramatma.
Yeah, and it's so interesting. We think we're the only living entities in the whole cosmos, but there's living entities that are seen not only on this planet, but on every planet, even on the highest planet where Brahma is situated. Mm. And Prabhupada says everywhere there are living entities. Within the earth, there are living entities, even within water and within fire.
Ooh.
And all of these appearances are due to the Mother Nature, and Krishna's seed-giving process.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So this purport is that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come in various forms and
Don't do it.
Nice.
Okay.
Don't do it.
She just had a
nice
mischievous face. Oh. Text 5. Shamasangita.
All right. Krishna says, material nature consists of 3 modes. Goodness.
No way.
I know.
I got ahead of myself.
No, we're finally waiting for this verse. I totally get it. Okay.
Sorry.
Krishna says, material nature consists of 3 modes. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these three, these modes.
Yeah, they are 3, so you were right.
I had a BGBF. Okay.
This whole episode has been a massive. We should just title it
BGBF.
Yeah.
So the living entity, us, we are transcendental. So we have nothing to do with this material nature. But because we become conditioned by the material world, the second we come into contact is as if we're put under the spell. I love how Prabhupada uses the word spell of the three modes of material nature. And because we have different kinds of bodies in terms of our different aspects of nature, we are induced to act according to that nature.
You know what that made me think about?
Ooh,
think about a puppet show where like they're pulled by strings.
Yeah.
And like different puppets of different like animals and people and all of that, and how like the material natures, like the three modes of material nature, are like pulling us to do these things that we desired in a previous life that we don't actually want to do now, maybe. But like, it's like, this is how you act because you are a human, and this is how you act because you are a donkey, and this is, and like that, right?
And even further, this is how you act because you are a human governed more by anger and lust
because
or whatever.
These are choices you made in previous life about belly rubs.
Like karma is so in depth that we don't even realize the precision and the detailed accuracy to which karma is delivered.
Oh yeah. I think about that every time I encounter someone in my life who I have a particular, like when you get these kinds of connections, you're like, huh, I met you for a brief period of my time and I wonder why. And I remember certain interactions and I wonder if that was a karmic interaction from a, you know, like even these situations where you think about, or like even the friendships we have now, like all of these things you think, wow, we had something to do in a previous life together. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today right now, right?
Absolutely. The soul can feel a certain familiarity with, am I meeting this person for the first time? Or do they feel like a familiar stranger?
Totally.
This is a wonderful introduction to these three modes of material nature. It's like, oh, this is how, so I started everything and this is what's going to influence the living entity.
Yeah. And it says these three modes of material nature are the causes of the varieties of happiness and distress. So like different combinations of them is like whether you're like ecstatic or like kind of glad to miserable or just a little sad.
Yeah.
Wow. It's interesting. Yeah. And we have to remember, we even mode of goodness, we want to get out of and beyond these modes to pure goodness and pure transcendental state of consciousness.
But isn't the goal kind of to be in mode of goodness?
Like right now, 100%.
Well, I mean, we'll try our best.
Yeah. And someone had once said so beautifully that wherever you're at, take it a step above. So if you're in ignorance, step up to passion. So if you're sleeping all the time, okay, let's get moving. Let's get doing something. Do something. Mm. If you're in passion, okay, start elevating yourself to goodness. If you're constantly on the go, like slow down. Let's step into mode of goodness. Like do things consciously. And then once you're in mode of goodness consistently, let's step it to the transcendental realm.
Oh, I like that.
I like that a lot. That's really nice visual.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right. Text six.
Shamali.
O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it is free. It frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. What we were just talking about.
Oh, actually, gosh, it's like we're foreshadowing.
We're foreshadowing what's about to come without even knowing it. Did BCBG or I keep...
BGBF.
Sorry.
Okay, think about it. It's Bhagavad Gita, so it's always BG.
I have an Alzheimer with names.
Whoa.
Acronyms and names. Yes. Anyway, it's as if that's been lifted, that veil, and we foreshadowed. We did a pretty cool thing just there without even knowing what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait, Shamli, can you repeat that verse again?
Yes. So, O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge.
Mm. That's so sweet.
I mean, if you like take it in like a sense of like, okay, say you're on the New York Stock Exchange and you're running around chasing money and like every single day your emotions are high and low based off of the stocks. And if you actually take that step and like go towards a mode of goodness, then you do feel a sense of peace and calm and happiness and like higher knowledge than just chasing material wealth.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was really interesting that it said it frees one from all sinful reactions, but that doesn't take away the fact that it builds good karma.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where we were differentiating the idea of like...
Yeah, go ahead. Keep differentiating the idea of what?
Of... reactions versus sinful reactions, right? Mm. So motive goodness takes away sinful reactions. So maybe in the past we've committed a lot of wrongdoings. We treated people poorly. We stole, we did this, 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 or that, right?
Yeah.
So in this lifetime, if we're doing progress in that way, we can sort of reduce that sinful reaction that we committed in a previous life. But totally. If we continue doing motive goodness, it does build good karma.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And Prabhupada says all these types of psychological manifestations are causes of the entity's conditioned status in nature, and how they are differently conditioned is explained in this section of the Gita. So the mode of goodness, which we just tackled, is the first considered because, you know, Priya, you were saying somehow the positive effects of this, Prabhupada continues, that the effect of developing the mode of goodness in the material world is that one becomes wiser than those otherwise conditioned. Because if we're in the mode of goodness, we're not going to be so affected by material miseries. And we have a sense of advancement in material knowledge.
Yeah, and then Prabhupada says the difficulty here is that when a living entity is situated in the mode of goodness, he becomes conditioned to feel that he is advanced in knowledge and is better than others.
Oh, and that's a slippery slope because that develops pride and your ego becomes inflated. Like, I'm living the good life. I have my material life in check. I might have a nice job. I go outside and have a nice garden, smell the roses. I'm ahead of it.
Yeah.
And does that kind of slip you in back down a little bit?
Yeah. And mode this way passion. You become conditioned.
Mm. Yeah. It says, this sense of advanced happiness, because, you know, you're in such mode of goodness, is conditioned life, in conditioned life, makes them bound by the mode of goodness of material world. Right. So it still binds you to the material world. So it's so interesting because you want to be in the mode of goodness, but ideally you want to transcend it.
Okay. So
it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. Okay. So then what activities will bring us into the mode of goodness?
Well, activities we could talk about, but can I say one
thing? Yeah.
Prabhupada says the best, this is funny almost, and I could see this. This isn't for everybody. It's a general statement that the best examples of what we just talked about, of being almost proud of the knowledge and accomplishments, an example would be scientists and philosophers, because many are very proud of his or her knowledge. And because they are generally improved their living conditions, they feel a sort of material happiness. And this sense of advanced happiness in conditioned life makes them bound by the mode of goodness of material nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, the whole thing, right? Like the more we get happy, the more we think we are situated in the mode of goodness, the
material
more
happy.
Oh yes, material happy. Mm-hmm. And then we get caught up and our egos get big and all of that. Yeah. Then the more, actually it says, due to this illusion of the material energy, one thinks that sort of life is pleasant. No chance of liberation. He said, Prabhupada says, thus there is no likelihood of liberation or of being transferred to the spiritual world.
Oh. Womp womp. All right, you want to do rapid fire? What activities bring us into the mode of goodness?
Taking a walk into the park on a sunny day.
Ooh, reading Srila Prabhupada's books.
Nice.
Doing community service.
Beautiful.
Meditating.
Nice.
Chanting japa.
Doing kirtan.
Would all of like the spiritual activities, I guess they're in the mode of goodness, or would those be like
spiritual,
right? They're beyond.
Never mind.
Are they mode of goodness?
Yeah. No. I mean, they are, but they're in this like the transcendental mode of goodness. So.
But still mode of goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think mode of goodness in this particular sense is like more attached to the material world, sort of. Mm.
Meditating in a park.
Okay. Yeah, doing good things for others, like being environmentally friendly, donating to good causes.
Flipping someone off when they cut you off.
Yeah. Mode of goodness. I mean, I think that's like a self-control.
Yeah, mode of goodness.
You know, that part of the thing about the philosophers and scientists that we had read, it made me think of Tolstoy because he was my favorite philosopher in when I read him in religion.
Okay, fancy. Okay.
I took a philosophy of religions class in college. And he was so interesting because he was a very renowned philosopher of his time. He had a big house, beautiful family. He had it all. And he was a very well-known philosopher and writer. And so he had that prestige and that sense of knowledge and mode of goodness lifestyle that comes with it. And then by the end of his life, he wrote a book called The Confession. And in The Confession, he basically starts delving into how All of this still made him unhappy. He wasn't happy by the end of his life. So he wrote this book that starts off with an Eastern fable. Should I tell? Is this short? It kind of describes the material. I'll save it for next time.
Yeah,
basically.
Save it for next time.
I'll save it for next time. But Tolstoy, basically, his dissatisfaction prompted him to analyze which people find happiness. And he realized that those people who have a simple way of living and are developing high thinking achieve greater levels of happiness. So he was one of the philosophers that was able to break free from the path of, I guess, most of his counterparts of the time.
Wow. Wunderbar. That's ergo awesome. Mode of goodness. Yeah. Mode of goodness. All right, ladies, we did 6 verses. That's crazy. Wow. All right, join us next time as we tackle chapter 14, text number 7.
See you next time.
Bye. Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.